You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., episode number 1134.
Before, I wasn't really exercising every single day. I just was missing, I would say, a lot of key things that would keep me healthy and energetic throughout the day. Once I started implementing good habits, habits of people that are successful and replicating it, I started to see a difference. I started to genuinely see just a shoot of energy go through my body when I would do the same actions as, you know, someone that is where I want to be.
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
I recently heard the three words vision, mission, and values. And I thought that that was really interesting as an entrepreneur. And I always thought that that was kind of corporate jargon. It didn't really make a lot of sense to me. It really didn't feel like in my gut something that I needed to put together. It made sense that felt like a kind of bigger business that had a lot of people that you're working with. Then there's this analogy that if your business is like a big old sailboat, like an old school sailboat, well, the vision for that is you get on this boat and the vision is the exciting destination. The goal that you have, where are you going to end up with this business? And this can change based on the week, the month, the year, the overall macro vision of the business. But it's something that's, I think, really important to figure out. The second part of that is the mission. The mission is the why, right? It's so cliche to talk about. What is your why? Oh, my family, all these things. We get that. And everybody gets that. But getting the real why of why do you want to make $10,000 today? Why do you want to make $40,000 this month? Why is your goal to make, you know, $100,000 this year? And what exciting things along the way does that income open for you? What doors does that open? What pathways does that open? And then the last one is the value. Right? The values of your business. And the values of your business really comes down to the way that you treat other people, the way that you interact with the people that are engaged with your business. And I think that that metaphor of just thinking about this big sailboat going on a destination and you're on there and every day, you know, you're doing the tasks to be able to get there and you're really understanding the reason why you stepped on the boat in the first time. And then the way that you interact with the people on that boat is a beautiful analogy for our wholesaling business. And I think that that lends itself, that visual lends itself perfectly to the conversation that I'm going to have on this podcast with an incredible young 22-year-old superstar in the making out of Chichester, Pennsylvania, right outside of Philadelphia. It is my pleasure to bring on here Kayla Boykin. Kayla, how are you?
I am good, Brent. How are you? It's a pleasure to be here.
I am incredible. We're going to get to your backstory. We're going to get in the DeLorean and we're going to go back in time to discover the seed of why you are a real estate entrepreneur. But before we do, I want to get into the nitty-gritty of this. I want to know the vision, mission, and values that you have developed over the last year. Because really, you got into this. We were introduced to each other in the TTP program in April, and it's taken some time to really build some momentum. You closed your first deal right at the end of the year. It took longer than I would have liked, longer than you would have liked, but you have always been very positive and optimistic and moving forward and excited about this business. And I want to know why. I want to know, from April to December, you didn't make any income in this business. And I want to know about, I want to peel back and hear, what is your vision? What is your vision for your business? Why are you a real estate entrepreneur? Let's start there.
I definitely want to, you know, share my story. I think it could definitely, you know, inspire others if they're in the same boat or have found themselves in the same boat mentally or emotionally. But I would say, first, my vision is to be able to live the life that I want to live. If I'm going to be here, I need to live the life that I want to live. I don't want to be working for anyone else. And I want to be able to just basically have fun and be happy and, you know, provide for my family, provide for my loved ones. You know, at the end of the day, that's all that really matters to me. And I definitely want to travel. I have a desire to travel. So I know, you know, obviously to make passive income, to have enough capital to travel where I want to go. I've always been an adventurous person, so I love to do crazy, fun things. I want to ski, snowboard. I want to start, like, I want to do everything. I just want to be able to live as much as I can while I'm here. So that's the vision. And I also found that throughout this journey of becoming a real estate entrepreneur and getting into this business, it's actually really helped me evolve mentally, forcefully. It was a driving force for me to evolve mentally, because without it, so essentially it's kind of healing in a way. It was kind of healing for me. Honestly, it was like a therapeutic thing for me, because the skills that are required to succeed in this business, you have to develop, and it forcefully changes how you are mentally. It has to. So I would say, you know, that's definitely my mission, my vision. And the reason why I do it is just because I love giving back. I love knowing that I'm helping somebody. And obviously, it is very good as far as income. So I just thought it would be a good fit for me.
Awesome. And your interaction with other people, the values that you hold, the way that you're developing it. Because when we start, we haven't had conversations with people about real estate. We haven't talked to, we don't even know what a title an escrow officer is. We don't know what a private money or hard money lender is. Cash buyer could be anything. That's very vague and doesn't really describe real estate investing, you know? So those relationships that you build and the values that you find there, you know, what kind of people are you trying to pull towards your business, and what kind of energy are you trying to put out?
The kind of people that I want to attract to my business are, one, if we're talking about, you know, a seller, someone that's motivated, someone that's reasonable, someone that's rational and fair. But obviously, you know, we're not in a perfect world, so we're not always going to get that. But as far as just working with someone business-wise, a partner, a friend, I want to network with people that are genuine, that are motivated, that just are high vibrational overall, like people that care about, you know, themselves, their life, and empathetic people as well. I think that that's really important in this business. And honest people, honest, transparent, genuine people. Those are the kind of people that I want to work with.
I love it. You talked a lot about growth there in the first year. Was it something that you felt more timid before? Did you feel like, is it like your communication style? Is it your confidence? Is it your just, you know, the experience level? Like, give me a mixture of all of that in your own words so that I'm not just, you know, making assumptions here. Like, what was the main growth that everybody should prepare themselves for as they get into this incredible world of wholesaling real estate and being a real estate investor and entrepreneur?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say, to be completely transparent and real, I definitely was a person that struggled with mental health growing up. I mean, I've been diagnosed with multiple things, ADHD, like stuff that you would think a person wouldn't be able to grow out of, basically. And I've definitely been able to grow out of it. I've definitely been able to change, rewire my brain. That's what it comes down to at the end of the day. And I would say, basically, you know, let's say you have social anxiety. I've struggled with social anxiety, and you like you've mentioned, label yourself as an introvert, but you don't have to be an introvert. Like, this business will bring out the best in you. Mm-hmm. Because you're just going to be forced to talk to people. And that's really the main thing here. And I realized that it could be the make or break point of you getting a deal or not. Confidence, tone matching, just knowing how to talk to someone, knowing what someone wants to hear as well. Not in a bad way, but just like being able to be emotionally intelligent enough to kind of gauge what they need in that moment. So it's going to make you more aware. First of all, it's going to make you want to analyze yourself. So you're going to become more self-aware, because you got to stay accountable. And then you also have to kind of watch what you say, how you say it, over and over and over again. So eventually, you know, that's going to make you self-aware. That's going to make you accountable. It's also going to make you disciplined, which is really good. And speaking of that, I mean, before I wasn't really exercising every single day. I just was missing, I would say, a lot of key things that would keep me healthy and energetic throughout the day. Once I started implementing good habits, habits of people that are successful and replicating it, I started to see a difference. I started to genuinely see just a shoot of energy go through my body when I would do the same actions as, you know, someone that is where I want to be. So, you know, waking up early, reading, spending time in nature, meditating, exercising, very, very key for me. So, you know, it's just going to push you out of whatever kind of state you might be in that you think is holding you back, because it's going to start to make you think, well, okay, yeah, I know I can do this because someone else can. But why are they doing it and I'm not there yet? What do they have that I don't? Not physically or materialistic wise, but mentally, because that's what it comes down to.
What I found, and I echo your thoughts here in a lot of ways, when I had lost everything and went through a divorce and lost my cars and lost the houses and had the judgment and was just down and out, I thought I had to go inward to be able to be of value outward. And what I found was when I went outward, all of a sudden, and I started providing a ton of value to the community, all of a sudden inward started warming up that old fire in my belly again. You know, that old, the way that I felt when I was in like junior high and high school and college, and that confidence, and that before I ever screwed everything up financially or professionally, all of a sudden that started coming back. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay. If I go out there and I'm proactive and I try to find problems that I can solve out in the community, all of a sudden my posture started getting taller. Right? I had the sparkle back in my eye. You know, I had the electricity in my bones. You know what I mean? And I just feel like, you know, sometimes when you know, we're in really tough spots, or maybe we're anxious, or maybe we're just not as confident as we feel that we should be, or in a place that we feel like we should be, based on the goals that we have, going out and really trying to serve as much as possible brings that back. What do you think?
Absolutely. No, I definitely agree. I didn't even, you know, think of that as far as what I was trying to say, you know, evaluate yourself. But that also makes sense. And I think I've also, you know, applied the same, I guess, actions. You know, I was like you said, you know, you were in a different spot. And then once you started to see what you're providing and seeing how you're affecting people and seeing what that's bringing back to you, it started to warm you up. Yep. I think the same thing, like if the same thing has to happen, you know, it had to happen with me. I wasn't that confident. I had to overcome a lot of negative limiting beliefs, especially when it came down to talking with sellers or realtors or people selling their house. So once I started to actually just put myself out there and not think about that or just ignore that and become resilient to it, then yeah, it definitely started to warm me up. It definitely did. It started to make me like that started to be my, I wouldn't say full on source of happiness.
Yeah.
I started to feel more passionate and connected to this business, where if I don't do this business, I don't feel like myself. It's became kind of like an identity of mine.
I love it. I know that about you because we've talked a lot and we've texted a lot, and you've sent me a lot of deals that you locked up that weren't really deals and you were disappointed, but you came back every single time. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be on that podcast. I'm going to close some deals. I know I can do this. I know I can do this. I know that I can do this. So where does that come from, Kayla? Where does it come from where, you know, you're out there and, you know, you're getting disappointed on not really getting the deals through, but you still have that part of you that's like, I can do this. Where does that come from?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good question. I asked myself that a lot throughout the duration of my journey to getting my first deal. Like, how am I still doing this after almost a year and not seeing any results and constantly going broke and constantly working a job and then having to do it? Like, just, it was so much like, and I kept going. And I would say, I guess the first reason is because I refuse to work for someone else for the rest of my life. I cannot do it. Second, I realized that not even just like the outcome of what I want. Of course, I have goals. Of course, I have things that I want to get, you know, I am a car person. Of course, I want to get like, you know, the nice cars and the nice house and, you know, but like I said, like I mentioned earlier, this business brings me some kind of happiness, some kind of fulfillment or purpose where I feel like I just like it, not in a hobby way, but just like I want to do it.
Yep.
Like even though sometimes, yes, I don't want to get on the phone because maybe I feel a little bit more anxious than maybe I did the other day or the last time I got on the phone, I had a bad interaction or for whatever reason, it just feels right after the fact that I did it. So I would say, you know, mainly my driving forces to keep on going is just for one, like where I want to be financially, being financially stable, being wealthy, and then also just making it a part of who I am, like connecting that emotion to, you know, what I'm doing and then being able to realize it's a positive emotion. It makes me do it. Yep. It makes me do it because if I don't, then I don't experience that emotion that I'd like to feel.
I love it. By the way, guys, Kayla worked at DSW, Target, got fired from Amazon because she wasn't corporate enough. And now it works at the airport in Philly and part-time and does this business part-time. Not at the place yet where she can replace her income, but working there, closed the first deal and we'll do the breakdown there and is also working on a deal, a second deal now that we'll talk about that will be multiple five figures, which is fantastic. And we'll get into that a little bit, but doesn't have all day, every day to just dedicate to this business, has to go and pay, you know, bills and responsibilities and still keeps this alive and finds the in-between times that she's at work to be able to do this business because this business is action-packed all the time. Sometimes you have to send out contracts. Sometimes you have to send out addendums. Sometimes you have to make calls and texts and all these things. And she is doing it at 22 years old. You're an inspiration, Kayla. I love this conversation so far. This is one of my favorite conversations of all time so far. This is really, really great because we all go through this. All of us, every single person. And it's our ability to push through this that really makes us incredible leaders. And that's something that you were talking about before we got on this podcast is you've never really been in a big time leadership role, but you are the CEO. You own the LLC. You are a business owner, right? Mm-hmm. So listen, whether you've been one or not, you are one. And so it's just growth.
Yeah.
It's just growth from here, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about your first deal.
Okay.
Where did you find it?
So it was in Covington, Georgia. It's right outside of Atlanta. Very good area in Georgia. It was on market, fully renovated. Didn't need any work. You know, had the LVP flooring in there, the granite countertops, white cabinets, stainless steel. Everything was done. It really didn't even really need to be touched.
Right.
So what I had to do was, you know, I called the agent. I made an offer. But the thing is, the way that we go about our offers is different. So there's something called the Taylor method. My friend Richard Taylor / partner / mentor.
Shout out Richard.
Shout out Richard. He's amazing, great person. I love him. Basically, what the method entails is you convert an on-market listing to an off-market listing.
Okay, how do you do that?
So, I mean, I would say it's specific terminology that you have to use with the agent. I do get hit with a lot of objections when I do,
sure,
you know, have this talk with the agent, but we did come up with a strategy that works 99% of the time.
Okay.
So pretty much what I would say was, you know how, you know, as wholesalers, sometimes we do have to not portray as a buyer, but we are thinking and talking as if we are the buyer. So it makes sense. So in this instance, what I would have to say is, you know, after it'd always be after I would lock up the contract, I would say to them, you know, there's two divisions of our company, which there is the hedge fund. Oh yeah. By the way, we did sell it to a hedge fund,
yep.
But there's two divisions. There's an on-market division and an off-market division. And they spend so much money on, you know, marketing off-market, right? So what I say is due to, you know, not hitting a certain monthly quota, you know, we'd need this to just appear as off market because, you know, who we're partnered with as far as our private funding or private lender, it's in our operating agreement that, you know, we only sell to them. We only sell to them off market listings. And if it is on market, they're going to tell us to send it to the on market division. And I'm trying to help out my division, yep, of the off market.
Cool.
And usually they understand 100%. Sometimes they don't. You know, sometimes they're like, that's illegal. I can't do that. I'm like, it's not. You just don't know how to do it yet. But I'm going to tell you.
Well, they have signed. So just real quick, as being a real estate agent or licensed, I should say, being a real estate agent for a while and licensed for, 19 years now. That's crazy. Anyway, you signed a listing agreement. And in that listing agreement talks about how it's listed on the MLS. So there might have to be some addendum paperwork for the broker that needs to be signed. Maybe, maybe not. It just depends. Sometimes you could take it off the market and sell it off the market. It just depends on what state you're in. But go ahead. So you say, listen, I need this off market. We're going to be, the funding partners want this off market. They don't want it listed. And so, yeah, that's what we need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. You're 100%.
Yep. And if they don't, what happens?
If we don't, well, I'll say, you know, like, basically, I mean, I can't come off desperate. I have to also come off like, you know, this is just what we need to do. Yep. And if, you know, you guys can't cooperate or just do that period because, you know, certain brokerages have certain rules,
yep,
you know, that's fine. We just won't be your buyer then. But typically, I've only had one agent have to cancel on me because they wouldn't do it.
Awesome.
But, you know, some of the objections are like, well, that's not ethical. I can't do it. There's no way for me to do that. Some think that I'm trying to ask them to withdraw the listing.
Right.
I'm not asking you to withdraw it. Basically, what you have to do is, because I know some people don't know this, but there's a button. So depending on what, you know, MLS, I guess you're using, the FMLS, Georgia MLS, they're different. So let's say the listing is under the FMLS. There's a little button in there that says TOM, yep. T-O-M.
Time off market.
Yes, exactly.
Same here. So, I think most of them, yeah.
Yeah. So all they would have to do was click that if it's listed under the FMLS. And then for the Georgia MLS, this is what I mainly have to, you know, use because I'm in Georgia. There's something called on hold. It's an on hold status is what they call it. Well, basically, they would just have to contact the Georgia MLS via email, or they can call them and just say like, hey, I want to request this listing to be on hold. And then it'll appear off market on Realtor.com, Zillow, Trulia, Redfin, you name it. And yeah, by default, it'll go back to on market after 30 days. But they're not even going to, like, if we're moving forward on the inspection, they're not going to put it back on at that point. But yeah.
Awesome. So that you have to get it off market because you're selling to a hedge fund and the hedge funds don't want to buy on market deals unless it's through their agents that find these deals on market and bring it to them, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. So this one is one that the agent didn't find. See, this is what's really interesting because Kayla was telling me that working with Richard Taylor, what they did is they've got real good relationships with the hedge funds in their marketplaces. They stay up to date with their buy box, and a buy box is just the criteria, the price, the condition, the amount of bedrooms and bathrooms, whether it's they don't want it on major streets, they want them in certain zip codes in certain cities. So they stay up to date communicating with the hedge funds that are buying in their area. They put together Jarvis.
Like, so Chris Gallagher is the dispo partner because the company is under Richard Taylor, and then that's his dispo partner. So Chris actually came up with Jarvis, where, you know, it's the hedge fund calculator, and basically that's where you plug in your numbers so you can know which hedge fund will buy your deal.
Love it. Not only that, but, you know, so it's going through the active listings.
What do you mean? Like on Jarvis?
Will it show you which listings on the market to go after?
Oh, no. So it's not even that. It's a legitimate calculator.
Yep.
Like, yeah, it's literally a calculator. I think it was built on Microsoft Word? I forget what.
Yeah, like an Excel or something.
Yeah, it was an Excel. That's what I meant to say.
Okay, so it's not scraping the MLS, finding
which
ones. You have to go into the MLS, find some opportunities, match them up with the criteria, negotiate, I assume, off of that, because if those properties were already listed at a price that the hedge funds would buy, their agents would be on it. So here's where the skills get built in here. If you guys are all thinking, oh my gosh, this is like a cheat code for deals. It's a fantastic strategy. I will caution this for everybody. One, hedge funds change all the time. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're getting in this and you don't know what, if you don't have good relationships with the hedge funds, it's going to be very difficult and frustrating for you to go and try to lock up these deals and sell them to the hedge funds. Also, you have to close on these deals. So you have to have the funding to be able to close escrow on it. You can't typically, we have a couple here in Phoenix, hedge funds that will allow us to assign it, but most of them, you have to own it, then sell it to them. It could be a double close situation where you close on the same day, but you have to actually own it to sell it to them. They're not going to take an assignment fee. So there's a couple different sticking points. Cause I know everybody's brain, you're talking, Kayla, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, this is bananas. This is revolutionary. All I'm saying is one, Richard has built relationships, it sounds like, with these hedge funds and knows what they're looking for. Two, they have the ability to close on these deals either with private financing or their own financing to be able to sell those. So if you're just getting started, you don't have those relationships and you don't have the funds to do it, stick with finding ugly houses off the market. All right. Build that up and you'll really start building some momentum or tap into Kayla and their community. I'm sure that they've got some interesting ways that you can work with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. As far as the on the dispo side, I would say, you know, because I'm still even trying to build my own relationships with the hedge funds because, you know, Chris, he was the one to initially build all those relationships. So he did all of that work as far, because it's a lot of work. You know, you have to be on their good side. They have to know that you're serious in order to even get your email, because they have a lot of wholesalers, you know, sending them deals. So, you know, it's going to take, I would say don't get distracted by shiny objects unless you really have the time to, because it's going to take time. I'm not even trying to super focus on it, but I do have a couple hedge fund contacts where it's like, you know, if I come across someone that I can value trade with that has another hedge fund that maybe I don't have, then okay.
Yeah.
But seeking the hedge funds, you know, you could definitely do it. Of course, you could definitely do it. But, you know, it's definitely, I don't think it's probably the same as building a relationship with a typical cash buyer.
Yeah. And listen, you never want to be a cash buyer employee because they dictate your business at that point. You know what I mean? I saw hundreds of people get crushed when the hedge funds stopped buying in different markets. Now, I think that this is a great strategy to be able to, but just if you guys are interested in this, listening to this, make sure you reach out to Kayla and see if there's a connection there in all of Georgia.
No. So they're very picky.
Right.
Some are picky. There's one, the one that I sold my last deal to was very picky about it. I mean, they won't buy with Atlanta in the actual address. And it's only certain surrounding counties that they'll buy in. So it can be tricky, especially right now, I would say, with, you know, the shift in the market. I wasn't selling to hedge funds before then, but, you know, it seems like they're pretty picky now. But yeah, I mean, they'll buy usually, some will buy in the city of Atlanta, but it's more so the surrounding counties outside of it. Yep. They're not going to go too far out.
So what did you buy it for? What did you sell it for?
So initially I had it under contract for $256.
Uh-huh.
And I thought the hedge fund would buy it at like $280 at the time. And they came back and offered $260. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to go back and try to do something here.
Yep.
So I did. I went back to the agent, told him where we needed to be at. And ironically, you know, something that kind of helped my case here, someone during our inspection went and broke the window. So it was kind of crazy where I was like, perfect timing in a way, because I'm like, well, we need to replace the window and whatnot. So we need to be at 250. We move forward at 250. The hedge fund bought it for 260.
And then there were some closing costs there. So I think you netted around, what was it, like 7,000 and then split it between you guys, but somewhere around there?
Yes.
On your first deal?
Yes.
Come on, Kayla. Yes. I am so happy for you. I really am. You know, listen, we interview people on here that make millions. We interview people on here that have made a million on a deal, 50,000, 100,000, 200,000. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you made $100 on this deal. The fact that you made income by being proactive, even if it was on the market, but just going and being proactive, and watching that whole process and experiencing it and being in that whole process of start to finish from the initial conversation to getting paid on that, it changes you forever. You know, yes. You can do this again. And not only that, guys, she's got a deal now that that they're looking to do that's going to net, they're at 275 on it. They're looking to get 300 on it, probably going to get, they already have an offer, 295. So $20,000 there. This is just keep going up. The first three deals I did, the first deal I did was $4,500. And now we average $38,000. In the heyday of 2000, early part of 2022 and all of 2021, we were over $50,000 a deal. So this starts building up and building up and building up. But when you got paid on that, how'd that feel? Because I got that text message.
Yeah, it felt great. I felt excited. I felt proud of myself. I felt relieved. Definitely, I felt relieved on that. It was great. And then I just, after that, I didn't feel less motivation. I didn't get lazy. It just made me hungrier. I'm like, okay, well, now I got to get more and I got to get more until, you know, I reach my goal. And when I reach my goal, I'm going to keep going. Like, you know, it just was the beginning for me. It like made me even more motivated.
I love it. Crazy. I love it. Yeah. Congratulations. Got it closed. Building momentum, having the momentum will replace your income here, I think, in the next 90 days. And I mean, do you think about that ever? Do you think that, you know, in about 90 days or so, in about 3 months, 4 months, maybe I'll be in a position to never have a boss again?
Yes, it's a great, great thought to have. It's a good feeling to have, knowing that I know that I'm going to get this done. You know, like there's no way that I could ever, ever, ever go back after seeing. It's like, honestly, it's made me realize how, in a way, like money is fake. It's all mind. That's it. Yep. Like it can create everything that you want. So I just realized, like, there's no way I could go back. It's not about anything that's happening to me. I can control where I want my life to go. So I know for sure, within 90 days or so, I'll be able to quit my job. That's the first goal that I have, is I just want to be able to quit my job and, you know, rely on my business to create the life that I want.
That's it. Step one, do your first deal. Step two, go full time in this business. Step three, build the machine that's going to find you the best opportunity. Step four, pay off all your consumer debts, because there's point in getting passive cash flow and then just giving it away to interest payments. The fact is, from January to October, the average American pays interest and taxes. Okay. So you get rid of all the consumer debt and then you start buying assets, and then you're at the point now where you are financially free, and you're on the fast pass, and you're 22 years old. I mean, by the time that you see your 30s, I mean, what a powerful, powerful real estate entrepreneur you're going to be at that time. And it's going to be fun to watch, and it's exciting. And I love that you're part of the Rhino tribe, and I love that you pour in and have all those connections with Stephanie and some of the others. And it's really, really important to have that. It's really important to have community. It's really important to have people that understand what you're doing, because they're doing it as well. Do you agree?
Yes, absolutely, Brent. Well said. I agree with everything that you said. I appreciate, you know, the kind words. You know, it all means a lot. And you know, I honestly, I don't know where I'd be without community. I think that that's everything. I think even in general, as human beings, we all need community. We need connection. And without, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now without any of you guys, especially you, Brent, but without anybody in the TTP community. I needed everyone. Everyone was placed in my life at that certain time for a specific reason. So, you know, I'm just thankful for everything. I'm thankful to even discover this business. I'm glad I didn't start fixing and flipping like I originally planned and then start wholesaling. Like, I'm glad that everything is panning out the way that it is.
Awesome. Well, I and we as a community are better for you being in it. So thank you. How can people reach out to you? How can people connect with you? There's going to be a lot of people that are going to really connect with your story and your openness today and just your fire. You know what I mean? You got that fire in your eyes. So how can people connect with you?
Yeah. So you can reach me at, I'm going to be crazy and put my cell phone number out here, but I connect with everyone. So you can reach me at 484-318-5239. And then you have my Instagram. It's DREAMWITH. K, Dream with K. And then if you want to reach out to Richard Taylor, as far as, you know, his Discord or just kind of learning more about Jarvis and whatnot and the hedge funds, he knows even more about me. You can reach him at his Instagram, Richard Grandin Taylor, his TikTok, Hold My Hand Wholesale, or you can, you know, reach Chris C. Gallagher on Instagram. So we're all here for you.
Love it.
We're all here for you. If you have any questions or if you just want to reach out, you know, we'll be happy to talk to you.
Awesome. Kayla, so great to have you on the podcast. You've been telling me weekly that you're going to be on this podcast and you manifested it by actually taking action. And I think that's really the moral of this conversation is yes, working on yourself is important. Yes. Exercising and reading and being in nature and doing all of these incredible things are important when you combine it with taking action and actually serving the community. So thank you for being an incredible example to everybody out there. You're amazing. Thank you guys. Reach out to her. And listen, guys, that's it. I hope you got a tremendous amount out of this. Reach out to Kayla. And if you're interested in joining the most proactive community in real estate investing, it is the Rhino Tribe. Go to wholesalinginc.com. Go to wholesalinginc.com. Check out what it's all about. If it feels good in your gut, sign up for a call. We look forward to working with you personally. And that's it. As always, I end this by encouraging you all to go out there and talk to people. Till next time. Love you guys. See ya.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.